Now recording.
Thanks, Craig.
Thanks, Craig. Eric, I don't know if you caught that. Now we are recording.
I'm too scared to talk now that we're recording.
Hello everyone, and welcome to Wednesday Wednesday, episode 4, also known as Brews Day Tuesday, episode 680, seemingly. It's a crossover event. We'll let Sam decide how he wants to categorize it. I'm gonna toss it over to Mary, our charming and delightful host, to get us started.
Yeah, hi! Wednesday Wednesday is here. That just means there's ladies here only, and I think we're all drinking wine. You weren't really sure about it. Before
I'm not drinking wine, I'm sorry.
That's okay. You talk about that. You should be drinking like cough syrup or something, and not.
I've been drinking a lot of honey. It's not helping.
Too. And Erica's here. Hi, Erica.
Hi.
Our lovely third. What a fun time.
I am drinking wine. I understood the assignment.
Do you want to kick it off and tell us what kind of wine you're drinking, and like just tell me all about it?
It was in my fridge. I'm drinking River Gold from Wollersheim, which is a local winery. And I don't know what else to share about it. I can find information.
I know very little about wine. I know more about beer than I do about wine, which is not saying a lot because I know very little about beer. So, like, is that, if it's gold, is that like a Chardonnay or some kind of white wine, or what's the dealio?
It is a type of white wine. I am Googling. It is a delicate and juicy sweet wine with a hint of sweet pears and mangoes on the finish.
That sounds
it's not exactly a dessert wine, but it is like desserty. It's sweet. I like sweeter wines. It's got a nice like goldish color to it.
Gorge.
Sort of chilled.
I'll intro my wine because I'm also drinking wine, but I don't like ever drink wines. I don't have bottles or anything in my house. So I got a can of wine from the grocery store today. It's called House Wine. And this one, they have a couple options. I was surprised. This one's called Rainbow Rosé Bubbles. So it's a bubbly rosé. So it's pink. Very cute. Very good. I also don't have wine glasses. So I'm just drinking out of a normal like water glass. And it's called Rainbow Rosé because the can's rainbow. I assume this maybe is like a pride thing or something. Yes, House Wine is a proud partner of the Human Rights Campaign, which strives for LGBTQ equality and inclusion. So that's nice. Let's see. This is some amount of alcohol. 12% ABV. I don't know. That's probably normal for a wine, I would assume. There's a note here on the back that makes me a little bit worried where it says one 12-fluid-ounce can equals 2.5 glasses of wine. So
have fun. I should drink
the whole can.
That is always the problem with canned wine, where you're like, this is more wine than I should be drinking in one sitting.
Right, so if it's like a 4% alcohol, you know, percent beer, be like, oh, this is fine. And it's like, I should probably slow my roll a little bit.
I don't know if it makes you feel better or worse. Mine is a 10%, so do with that what you will.
Very good. Emily, what are you drinking if you're not drinking a wine?
Yeah, I'm not drinking a wine because I looked in the wine section and was like, I will have nothing competent to say about any of these. So I got a cider. I have Wild State Ciders, Hazy Pink Pineapple, which appears to be an apple and pineapple cider that has dragon fruit puree, but it's not very pink. It is definitely hazy, and it's not like as yellow as apple cider often is, but like, why did we bother with the dragon fruit, guys? Also, quite frankly, why did we bother with the pineapple? Maybe I'll pick it up as I go. I feel like I often complain that you can't taste secondary flavors on the first couple sips of a thing, but like, this tastes like a cider.
I also just realized that Eric and I did not taste our wines and talk about how they taste after we talked about what wines they are. So, Emily, you want to tell us how your dragon fruit situation is tasting, and then maybe we'll circle back and get first impressions of our wines.
Yeah, I mean, it's It's been a long time since I actually had a cider. I used to drink them all the time, and then I stopped drinking very much other than being on Brews Day. This is, I would say, on the sweeter end, but not, like, cloyingly overly sweet. But it's nice and fruity and refreshing, and I'm quite enjoying it.
Very good.
Fruity and refreshing is how I would describe mine, too. I maybe taste the notes of sweet pears. Mangoes seems not here.
I'm looking at...
But I also am not a good identifier of secondary flavors, so...
No, that's totally fine. I'm looking at my can of wine, and normally, if this was, like, a beer, right, it would tell me, like, look for notes of this flavor and this flavor. This one just has nothing. It's just, like, rainbow, equality, rosé, sparkle. I'm like, okay, that's great. It's all very good, but I don't know... It definitely tastes like a rosé, and there definitely are bubbles in here. And it's not, like, the sweetest one I ever had, but it's not, you know, like, a red, like, a heavy, dry red. So, you know, I think it's doing what it says it's going to do on the can, which is be fun and bubbly. Like me. Right?
Accurate. Yes. I was busy Googling your wine now, because apparently that's the role that I'm having today.
Oh, if you want to do that, that would be great. You can tell me what is going on with it.
Crisp and elegant aromas of fresh berries lead to lively citrus flavors on the palate.
I mean, it definitely smells, I don't know. Again, don't have a good wine palate at all. It smells like wine. Tastes like wine.
I do feel like rosé is the wine for the masses, where they were like, people get really big into red wine or white wine, but what if we just made pink wine for the girlies who don't want to learn about
wines? You like red?
Wines?
Great. You like white? Great. Here's both.
Well, they possibly did just mix them together, as far as I'm concerned.
My understanding of what a rosé is, maybe it's not this anymore, is that it's basically a white wine, but at some point during the process, they just kind of like take some like red grape like bits or like skins, just kind of go and like dunk it in to the white wine, and then it becomes pink. So I think it's just white wine with a hat.
So the pink is aesthetic, is what you're saying.
I'm fulfilling my Googling persona. It's made from red grapes, but unlike red wine, the skins remain in contact with the juice for only a short time. Okay. This brief skin contact gives rosé its pink color while preserving the freshness and acidity often associated with white wine.
Okay, so the skin element was part of it, but not the way I said it at all.
Yeah, they're crushed, and the skins stay in the juice for, like, a few hours rather than weeks, I guess.
I do like that.
We're going to pretend like I know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, to some point, exactly that. Like, girlies need a pink wine. I like it. Let's see. We have some articles. Should I do one of these? I was going to say, yeah, like, speaking of things they like, and I was going to kick into an article, but one of these is about racism, and I was like, I can't say that about that one.
No, but that does feel like it fits with your wine and...
My everybody's welcome in the house wine.
Yeah, I couldn't think of words. Inclusion.
Does it even have anything to do with wine, or does it literally just have wine in the title?
Let's see. So yeah, we're just going to go over to this article that I'm hinting at. So from The Guardian, we have an article called Old Racist Wine in a New Bottle, Black Academics Respond to Jason Arday Affair. And I do feel like they are assuming that I know who Jason Arday is and what he has done. And I don't know either of those things. It sounds like it's a higher educational situation. Emily, did you read these in advance?
I did not read them. I am learning in this moment that Sam also definitely did not read them. Because this is not about wine. This is about racism in academia. And while we could get into that, I feel like that's not the no rules, just friends vibes that we're going for on Wednesday Wednesday. We could.
Yeah.
We could really... really dig into,
I think the reference of wine in the title was literally just a metaphor.
Yeah.
So there's some issues going on where there seems to be a professor who is, you know, a man of color, of African-American descent, and he is having some issues at his college. And there's a phrase he says that back here at the end of this article where it says, there's a bunch of people out there who think black people are less intelligent than white people and that the only way they can get anywhere is by being forced into situations they are unqualified for. For those people, being black is a definition of being unqualified. It's an old racist wine in a new bottle. So that's the connection to wine, is that metaphor of how this guy's doing in academia. So I feel like maybe we should pivot. How do we feel?
Yeah, that's... Sam's still going to put this in the notes, but listeners, you can read this at your leisure.
It's
an
important issue to discuss, not about wine.
We are not qualified to talk about this, having not read the article or being even a little familiar with what's going on. We're barely qualified to talk about wine, and this isn't even about wine.
Yeah, I studied medieval literature in college. I'm not here to talk about, like, I don't know, delicate issues of the current time. I'm not good at this. Let's see.
Wine, beer, or spirits?
Let's do it. Science Daily. Wine, beer, or spirits. Massive study finds a surprising health divide. A massive study suggests that at low to moderate levels, wine and other alcoholic drinks may have surprisingly different links to longevity and heart health. Let me read the summary of this. From this document is from the American College of Cardiology, so we're going to be talking about some heart stuff. The summary says, a study tracking more than 340,000 adults for over a decade found that heavy drinking increased the risk of death Sorry for laughing. At lower levels, however, the picture it just sounds so bleak. Sorry. At lower levels, however, the picture became more surprising. Beer, cider, and spirits were linked to higher mortality, while wine was associated with lower risk. Moderate wine drinkers had a 21% lower risk of cardiovascular death compared with people who rarely or never drank.
That part I find really interesting. It's not compared to people who drink other things. It's compared to people who don't drink at all.
This is back to that old chestnut of, like, you know, on, like, the 90s and everybody was like, have a glass or two of red wine at night. It's good for you. And it was kind of like the gateway to, like, alcoholic mom culture in the 90s. But now I think we're just back. We're back, baby, in the wine house.
And now the American College of Cardiology agrees. So there you go.
See how you feel about being on the cider half of this right now, because the cider people are gonna die.
I mean, that's fine. I'm gonna die sooner than everyone else anyway.
That's given, impossible.
I don't know. How many times have you had sepsis?
None times, but also you pushed through it, and I think you're stronger because of it.
I did power through, and yet I am. I still got by, like, some kind of summer illness. It's not COVID.
Like, today is not a great example of
your potential. My longevity is not my strong suit here.
Guys, Wednesday Wine is supposed to be a fun, flirty, lady forward podcast, not redwell.
Well, Sam sent us articles about racism and how wine drinkers are gonna live longer, maybe.
I should have found some articles. Sorry, you were gonna say something about the article before I cut you off, Emily.
No, you're good. I was just going to say, I wonder how much of this is, like, just linked to, like, the Mediterranean diet is better for your heart health, and people who do that are more likely to drink wine with their dinner than with, like, drink a beer, or I feel like no one's actually drinking cider for fun these days. There used to be a lot of ciders, and now there were, like, six options at the Hy-Vee liquor store.
What's interesting, sorry, this is the American College of Cardiology, but the study was based on data from Britain.
What's that
And
all
I'm
about?
Curious. Well, it's more that, like, the talk, are diet fads as big of a deal over there, or is it just a thing we see in our half of the world? It's thinking of, like, the Mediterranean diet and all that jazz, but... Not saying that it's exclusive to America, but I don't know. I feel like I hear about it way more related to our country. Maybe that's because I live here.
You mean, like, overall Americans being unhealthier than people from other parts?
Yeah, and, like, trying different diet fat. Like, you know, there's the Atkins and the, like, I feel like it's always just the next fad.
Well, the fad is just, like, Ozempic is the fad.
Yep. It's going well. Drinking habits and lifestyle may also play an important role. Wine is more often consumed with meals and tends to be favored by people with higher quality diets and healthier behaviors overall. I should have read the article. It turns out it answered my question.
Hey, but it also sounds like your thoughts were spot on.
I'm so smart and good at things. Everyone's always saying that about me.
You're so smart and good at things. I was just going to say, isn't there one of those, like, is this really a causation thing or a correlation thing? Of, like, yeah, people who drink more wine than other alcohols maybe are just generally healthier and, like, classier, fancy meal individuals. I don't know. I don't drink a lot of wine, so maybe I'm not a classy lady. I have no idea.
I do, but I wouldn't call myself classy. I just don't like beer. So it's become my drink of choice, I suppose.
Have we unpacked your lack of beer enjoyment and the fact that you have a German husband? Does this cause strife in your household? Not to stereotype Germans, but so, a little bit of stereotype Germans.
What's interesting is, speaking German stereotypes, he did not drink at all when we first met, including beer. So he was a strange German. He drinks a bit more now. He had beer with dinner. But yeah, mostly just beer. He's not like a hard drinker or anything. And he'll have some wine with me. So no, I feel like my dislike of cheese is the bigger point of contention in our relationship. I know, why do I live in Wisconsin?
That's a point of contention in our relationship here.
The answer is they paid me to move here, so I did. Yeah, not a big cheese person.
Oh my gosh.
Or beer. This is where I live. But I get by.
How do you feel about
sausage?
I love sausage. All right.
Fun fact. Jobs didn't like beer for a long time. His brother doesn't like sausage, which I feel like is another German stereotype. So they're just bad Germans all around.
Crazy. I want to unpack your cheese thing a little bit more. Is it... So I think about... So as you probably know, I listen to, the McElroy Brothers podcast a lot. And I know Justin, the oldest brother, does not enjoy what he refers to as raw cheese.
Yes, he likes, that
like,
is it.
On like a pizza, but if you get him like a chunk of cheese with like crackers,
I'll eat shredded cheese on a taco.
Wow.
Queso is my jam. I will eat queso until my face turns blue. That's not the right saying for that, but I love queso. It's the raw cheese. But it's dairy in general. I don't like milk. I have to leave the room when my family eats yogurt, which they love, and I'm happy for them, but the smell is atrocious to me.
Mom's gotta go, yeah.
Yeah, the girls know when yogurt happens, mom leaves the room. I mean, I like ice cream, but that's sugar, so. But yeah, most dairy. I have, vivid memory of being, in preschool or kindergarten or something, and they tried to force us to have milk, and I'm like, can I just, there's a water fountain, right there. I don't want milk, please no, so.
Was it because you, as a child of the 90s, were also forced to drink exclusively skim milk?
Got milk? I don't know.
Which
maybe
is not
it's those
milk.
Ads.
It's gross.
I don't know. My mom tried, strawberry milk, chocolate milk, anything to try to get me to like it.
Drink chocolate milk.
I did used to like, oh gosh, what was it? The really fruity yogurts with, the... Not Go-Gurt, but... And a,
Trix
not
yogurt?
Yoplait. Trix, thank you. Yeah. It was it had the rabbit. Yeah, I would eat those sometimes, but so I gross. Still think I didn't super enjoy it. And again, maybe
those
it was
are
just
the least
sugary.
Real dairy yogurts out there. I just was so gross thinking about those.
Which is why I feel like I needed to specify what brand yogurt it was. It wasn't like I'm, eating, regular plain yogurt.
Real
it was
yogurt,
as
yeah.
processed as possible. Yeah, I've just never really liked dairy. It's fine.
That's okay.
Yeah.
As long as you, keep drinking wine, according to this article, you're going to live forever. And
then I'll be fine. My bone health, because of lack of calcium, is going to be a problem, but my heart health will be great. So, mm-hmm. Cheers.
It's fine. Cheers. What do you need legs for?
Speaking of legs, Emily, what is going on in your life? Do you have content for us today?
I don't have content. I never have content. I've been trying to get back into running. It's
about legs.
Going
okay.
Fine. Yeah, that's how we're pivoting the legs. I just I still don't understand how people enjoy. I want to be a person who likes running, and every time I'm just like, this is the worst. This is the worst feeling, and it never gets better. And that's what I've been doing with my time. My limited free time.
Yes, it doesn't help that right now the weather outside has been either, like, thick or just hot or smoky. So it's like...
Would you say the weather outside is frightful, Mary?
I would say it is that, but not in the sense of that song.
I mean, I will say it's not as terrible outside at 5:15 in the morning.
Yuck!
But that, you know, being awake at 5:15 in the morning is not ideal. I set a goal for myself several months ago that I wanted to run a sub 35-minute 5K before I turned 35, which is a thing I've done in the past, but then I stopped running because I had too many children. And I did do that, and then I got pneumonia, and I stopped running for, like, 6 weeks. And I briefly was like, maybe I should do a half marathon, and, I'm not good at sticking with stuff, so, like, let's be real here. But, that's, right into Bruise Day Tuesday, if you think that I should, in fact, train for a half marathon.
You know, I've completed a half marathon without training, and it sucks a lot, so don't recommend.
That seems like a bad choice.
Twas, yes. I regretted it, but I survived somehow.
I know a friend of the show, Laura Gern, would have a lot of thoughts on this, because she used to do half marathons back in the day. I remember I watched her do a half marathon once while we were in grad school, and by that I mean I stood at one part of the track and watched her go by and went, oh! And then I went to a different part of the track and went, oh! As she also ran by, so... I don't know, watching a marathon isn't really the best. Why are you guys thinking
about
that?
She did the whole marathon once, didn't she?
Probably. She would be able to confirm. But yes, she likes to run. But yeah, she's also not doing it as much as she used to. But I think, you know, it's like life's a marathon if you think about it.
You're so profound.
You're both moms. You get it.
I'm just remembering our year of monthly 5Ks back before children were had.
Oh my God. Yep.
That was a wild time.
It was fun times. We did a 5K every month. And it turns out, even if you do a 5K every month, you get to the end of the year, and it still kind of sucks.
Yeah. Yep. Especially if, like me, you don't run a ton between said 5Ks.
I was running a lot. I actually did a New Year's Day 5-miler at the end of that. And it was still miserable. The thing about it was that I never got less miserable. I was better at it, but I never got to a point where I was like, oh good, I get to run. I just still... I do wonder if that's how people feel all the time. Are they doing it out of spite? Is everyone doing it out of spite, or is it just me?
Some people say they enjoy it. I don't know. A couple of my coworkers go running all the time, and they're just like, and they get really sad when the weather's bad. They're like, oh, I just want to run, and I'm just like, go on a treadmill. I don't understand. It's just like... Yeah. I like
the idea of running more than I like the act of running.
Yeah.
I want to be a runner, but no.
I just want to have lung health whatsoever. It's going great for me, as you can tell.
You can tell based on your crusty voice.
Mary, you said you're into yoga?
Yeah. I've been doing yoga at work. They do like the Monday night yogas every week.
Yeah.
It's fun. Like, one of the other people on my team was doing it, and he was like, come do yoga with me. And I was like, okay. And I've been going almost every week for, like, over a year now, and it's really fun. Usually my other... It is interesting, because you're doing yoga with your coworkers, right? So I usually have to, like, change into yoga outfit, because after work, like, at the end of the workday, and then walk over there, and people will see me and be like, oh, are you going to yoga? I'm like, yeah. They're like, isn't that so awkward, like, doing yoga in front of your coworkers? And I'm like, I have to be like, it's only weird if you make it weird, which I think is accurate. Because, like, yeah, if you're in there, like, checking out your coworkers' butts while they're bending over, yeah, it's going to be weird. But, like, you kind of got to assume, like, they're not
doing... Yeah, focus on your own practice, right?
It's you and the mat. The mat is where your practice is. You're not
keeping
everybody else. So, yeah, I don't know. I think it's fun. I feel like I get better sometimes. And other times, I'm just like, I do it. I'm like, oh, no. I, like, pulled my butt the other day, and I couldn't, like, walk afterward. And I was like, well, that was too much. So, don't hurt yourself doing yoga. Not good.
I've been taking a ballet class. It was like adult intro to ballet, because I haven't done ballet since I was a small child, but both my girls are in ballet. Mm-hmm. And I decided I wanted to try it again, so I've been doing that. because I don't like exercise, so I have to trick myself into it with activities that are more fun, but also exercise. And every time I'm in that class, I'm like, man, I should work out between these classes because holding my arms up for this long is exhausting. And then I don't. It's fine. But yeah, that's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's like why I was doing ballroom for so long. I haven't done ballroom in a couple years, but it's like, that's why it was fun doing it. Cause yeah, it was like, you're doing a workout, but kind of like on accident. Cause you're just like, I'm here doing a fun activity, but also, oh wow, I'm doing a little bit of workout. So that's fun. Now I just
like, oh, I got a little bit sweat. I'm glistening at the end of class.
Glistening. Yeah. Let's see. I'm trying to think if, I don't know. The problem with wine news, you guys, is that's not interesting. I was trying to, like, Google really quick to see if I could find some better wine articles, and I found some stuff about, like, but good wine bottle openers that don't crumble the corks. I'm like, well, that's not, this is not, like, an advertising pod. Just get the one.
And here I'm like, ooh, I need that recommendation, though I mostly drink white wine, which I don't have to deal with corks.
So I think this is true. I feel like I read somewhere, maybe we could look, maybe this is for Googling for you, Erica, is like, is it true that corks are actually worse for storing wine than just like a screw top bottle? I feel like I read somewhere like screw tops are actually better at like storing and keeping your wine good, but everyone just uses corks because it is like tradition is the thing to do. That might be totally BS.
Well, I'm trying, but apparently I can't type now.
That's okay. Also, if anyone's curious, the Today Show says the best wine opener is this, like, Sakura electric wine opener that costs, like, $23.
Oh, so the benefit of corks with red wine specifically is it allows tiny amounts of oxygen to enter, which helps premium red wines age and soften over time.
Soften.
Yeah. That's a thing that I guess, you know how people are like, oh, this is a 1978 vintage bloody bloody whatever.
Yes. I've seen them do that.
Clearly no wines. Yeah. Or Fraser.
Yes.
Something something tannins.
Yeah. Yeah. So like, I think the cork helps in those cases. However, corks can dry out, crumble, and cause cork taint, which is a chemical taint that smells like wet cardboard.
Oh. Emily, I saw you laughing. Do you want to unpack that?
Nope. We can
I know what word you were laughing at.
The phrase cork taint. Does that get you?
Yep.
Good.
I've been married to Sam for nearly a decade.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Whenever I used to drink wine more, I think in my younger days, like in college, you drink a lot of wine to like your lady friends and stuff. And I think we just like half the time we just push the cork into the bottle. Cause it was like, we just were really bad at opening wine bottles. And it was like, you know what? That was fine. But it's probably because we were buying like that wine you could get at, like Trader Joe's for like $2. So it was like, who cares?
You gotta slap the bag. Just get your bagged wine.
Slap the bag.
I don't remember where I was driving. It must have been close to downtown. So I saw what I assumed was a college student just, you know, box of wine on his shoulder, just strolling down the street. I'm like, you know, that live your best life. Those were the days.
The traditions get passed down. I'm just ruining yourself by drinking a whole bag of wine on, like, a Tuesday.
I do feel like kids today have it easier. I never drank wine in college. I just, like, you know, when we were in college, your options for, like, cheap wine, like, you could get, you know, cheap beer. You can always get cheap liquor. That's a thing. But your options for wine were, like, you know, Barefoot if you were feeling classy, or just, like, whatever the cheapest bottle of wine, or box wine. But now you can get, like, individual servings of wine that are not just, like, Sutter Hill. Yeah, you can get, like, a nice little can.
And I almost have bought a Sutter Hill wine because I thought they ever had the tiny bottles next to the produce at my grocery store. And I was like, I can't do that. Let's not do that. But
Sutter Hill was the wine we had at my church for a very long time. It was a light pink because it turns out church wine doesn't have to be red. The thing about the church wine is not, like, it's supposed to look like the blood. It's just supposed to represent the blood. Yeah, we had like a very light pink. Yeah, no, it's not. It's like a rosy visually green. Very bizarre. I think for a while they had like a white wine, and they were just like, "Yeah, this is what the priest likes." It was like the sweetest wine on the face of the planet.
We were your church was picking wine based on the priest's personal taste preference.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, man,
also, what you can get in gallons. You only have so many options of what wines come in a gallon, and then you let the priest pick.
Oh, man, you're reminding me. I used to help my mom, like, fill the... Because I don't know how you guys, like... I think we're all, you know, previous or current church ladies. And so, like, I don't know how your churches did it. Like, my church I grew up in had, like, these big metal trays that had, like, little individual tiny...
Glasses. Yeah, the little tiny cups, yeah.
You didn't do, did you do the common cup?
No. I mean, there were like eight of them that spread out through the church.
We had the common cup, but we had the little doohickeys, and in the very inside was grape juice for I think people who I assume maybe alcoholics, because like I for my first communion as like a youth had the wine, and then immediately asked my mom if I could go get a drink of water because it tasted terrible. So, I mean, I guess it could have been for anyone who would prefer grape juice, but they only had, like, a small section of grape juice.
Yeah, because, like, my mom would volunteer at our church, and, like, she'd be able to, like, fill the little wine cups in these trays, and I would help her sometimes, because it was fun. You basically got this little, like, dropper thing that you would, like, fill with wine. You kind of push a button, like, beep, 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 to, like, do all the wines or whatever. And we also would do, like, a different flavor in the middle, and now I'm looking back, like, was that grape juice? Maybe. I don't remember.
I assume. I mean, because there, I guess there's a lot of reasons why people would do grape juice instead, but... I don't know if I ever took communion while I was pregnant. I imagine like a small amount of communion wine's probably not going to be that terrible.
No, Catholics can just skip the wine at any point. You don't have to get the wine. If you're going to get the wine, you do have to drink it out of the same cup as everyone else, and they will wipe it with a dry cloth that they have used to wipe the same spot of the cup.
Sanitary?
And then they turn it. So it's like every, you know, eight people, you get back around to the beginning of the cup. They stopped doing wine altogether during COVID.
We did also have the common cup for those who chose to partake in it, but it was not like the default option, I'd say.
Yeah, no, the Catholic Church, you gotta do that, and it has to have alcohol in it. You are not allowed to use grape juice. And technically speaking, the bread has to have gluten in it. There are like gluten-free hosts, but it's like 0.00002%
We just always had those like dry wafers that tasted like cardboard. Yeah. I don't even know if there was gluten in it.
Yeah, they're called hosts. They're the little wafers. But yes, they're made of wheat. But you can get gluten-free ones that probably are better now. 20 years ago, they looked like potato chips.
Yeah. What weird thing.
And you had to like put your. It was like everyone who had to be gluten-free had to, like, put theirs in a special little box, and then the special little box had to go in the bowl so it could all get consecrated together.
I said, in the spirit of Googling, I did a quick Google to be like, does the wine, alcohol, whatever, kill germs in a common cup? And the Google AI...
No, it does not.
No. Yes. It does say the wiping sure helps it does a not. Little bit just to get, like, some of the residue off, but yeah, it's like... Mm-mm. No.
And, like, if you look at the cloths they use to wipe it, there's a lot of lipstick on them by the end.
That makes a lot of...
Because you think you try to, like, put your mouth on it as little as possible, but that is not how old people do it.
You gotta paint your lips for the Lord.
You gotta get in there.
The Lord has to know how you feel about his blood.
You love it. You love it, even if it's not the right color. Mm. This is good. This is good. I don't know how many cups of wine I've had so far. I feel like maybe one.
Jostle the can a bit. How empty are we?
Maybe there's like a third left in the can, but I'm putting it into this cup.
So I have finished my glass, but I realized I was not smart and did not bring the bottle down with me. So I'm done with one, apparently.
That feels right. Honestly.
It is. School day tomorrow?
School day. Correct.
I don't know a better way of wording that. I mean, I guess work day is normal, but it's the bigger issue is fighting my children out the front door.
I just say it's a school night, even though I don't have children.
Your eldest is starting kindergarten in like 3 weeks.
She is. We went school shopping today, and she wanted me to specifically tell the cashier that she's starting kindergarten. Like, she wanted to make sure everyone knew. We're excited. So far, I'm not like super emotional about it. I mean, I still can't believe she's five. That blows my mind a little bit, but we'll see how I feel when we actually drop her off.
What does school shopping entail in the year of our Lord 2026? Do you still buy like binders and folders, or is it not any of that?
I mean, so kindergarten, it was a lot of markers and crayons.
Okay, kindergarten, this is true. You're not like, you don't have like a math binder.
Yeah, I did. Okay. We did have to buy like the, you know, just like normal folders, but they specifically wanted the plastic coated. She said, so they requested four colors, yellow, green, blue, and red. And her reasoning was that those are the teacher's favorite colors. Sure.
Sure.
I like the logic. But yeah, I mean, scissors, crayons, whatever. It was pretty basic, but it was still exciting. We got to pick out a backpack for her.
Did you get her the left-handed scissors?
Is she left-handed?
Rat, no, I completely forgot. Oh, man. Oh, man. I have failed as a mother.
They're still kind of working out, I heard.
Or she'll learn how to use right-handed scissors.
Well, yes, there are moments where she flips to her right hand, so clearly my daughter is left-handed. And it's funny because I always bring this up with people that I know that are left-handed, like Sam, where it's like, okay, I gotta remember the scissors are a big deal, and like, teach me other things so that I can be prepared. Because Gilps and I are both right-handed. Like, we have no first-hand experience. No, I forgot the scissors. Wow.
Oh my gosh.
I'm gonna have to go back to Target.
I feel like in the world, there's gonna be very few times where, like, if she's out and about, there's gonna be like a left-handed scissors available. Like, she's gonna have to know how to use a right-handed scissors.
Yeah, but
default, everybody.
We should be her safe space, Mary.
I'm not. I only have right-handed scissors in this house.
Did either of you have kids in your grade school classes who were left-handed and had left-handed notebooks?
Yes.
No, I mean, I know I had some that were left-handed. I don't remember ever seeing a left-handed notebook.
It was very bizarre to look at, and it is just a right-handed notebook half the time, in the same way that a normal notebook is a left-handed notebook half the time.
That you can, like, flip the spiral back and forth or whatever.
Yeah.
I think there were a couple of lefties I knew who used, like, the top-bound notebooks, which are better for everyone, it turns out.
But, I can see that being...
Yeah.
Or, you know, just get one without the spiral, because even as a righty, trying to write on that other page with the spiral is annoying. I like my, the sewn-bound notebooks.
I feel like I always struggled more with those. Every time I had to write in a composition notebook. Maybe that was just because everything I had to write in a composition notebook was bad.
Science, yuck. No, because it would just be like trying to close the whole time. Like, I have to have a spiral so it can lay flat while it's open.
Yeah, you just gotta like work the binding of it. I don't know. That's my. I always loved a good composition notebook. I even now, as I'm at the store, I'm like, ooh, I need one. I'm one of those people that collects journals, but then I don't want to taint it with my thoughts, I guess. So I don't actually use them, or I write on a page and then I'm like, well, this one's wasted. And
I need to start it now.
Yeah.
I like the idea of a composition notebook, but I feel like we only ever used them for, like, when we had to keep journals or when we were writing our, like, weekly overviews of the chapter of Hatchet we had read. Did everyone read Hatchet?
I didn't read Hatchet. I don't know what it is, though.
I don't know if... I feel like it was a summer reading option. You could either read, like, that or a different book, or maybe I know one summer it was either Beloved or The Invisible Man, and you can imagine the choices were pretty divided across gender lines, I guess. Or
The Invisible Man is like 80 pages long, I think. It's not a long book, from what I remember.
I did not choose that one. I chose Beloved, but also I don't think I finished it, so.
Is Hatchet like My Side of the Mountain, or is it different? I feel like they're both just about boys in the wild, but I have no idea.
Yeah, I mean, Hatchet is very much just like, this boy gets lost. There's a, like, weirdly graphic scene at the beginning where the pilot in the, like, little jet that's carrying him home dies.
Oh.
That's cool. Maybe a spoiler. I think you have to
spoiler
know
for the first chapter
how Brian got into the wilderness, and it is because he was in, like, this weird little private jet going home from somewhere, and the pilot had a heart attack.
Did you guys have to read Alive about the soccer team in the Andes that had to eat each other?
No.
Yeah, I got to read that one in high school. I mean, it's based off a true story, which is incredibly depressing. And it was, like, a well-written book, but not great subject matter.
What do you think the point was of reading that in high school? Were they trying to be like, be careful, or
it's a dog eat dog world? I don't know. Like, I'm sure there was a reason, and I'm sure we probably were supposed to learn it, and I don't remember. I just know that I read the book.
That's all you need. That's totally fine. Yeah. I liked My Side of the Mountain. It's a lot like Hatchet, I think. Although that guy, from what I recall, he doesn't like crash land in the woods or anything. It's just like a boy who's like, one day, I want to go live in the woods because I'm going to run away or something. And then he just goes into the woods and does that and like hollows out a tree and lives in it. And that's like the gist. And people kind of find him once in a while. Like, a hunter will show up and be like, hey, boy, what are you doing? And he's like, just hanging out in the woods. Don't worry about it. And they're like, do you live out here? And he's like, yeah, maybe. And then nobody, like, calls the cops or, like, CPS or anything on this guy. He gets a
I gotta tell you, that sounds a lot less traumatic than Hatchet.
Chill. Like, he kind of just, like, it's how I learned what the word venison means. I think he gets a deer at one point and eats part of it. I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't really learn a lot from that book other than just, like, seems fun to live in a tree in the woods. Yeah.
Yeah, Hatchet did not instill any desire to spend any time in nature in me. He gets attacked by a porcupine at one point.
Oh, man.
He's got to, like, learn how to...
Porcupines look really cute. Like, the porcupine at our zoo.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just want to snuggle it.
I like the ones with the noses. It was like the prehensile-tailed porcupine. Do you know what I'm talking about? And they have like little piggy noses.
Oh, yeah. Those are cute.
Yeah, they got little, we got big noses. Very good.
So I didn't mean to cut you off, Emily. I just porcupine. I'm like, oh, man, they're kind of cute,
you're
though.
You're good. That's, My experience with porcupines is mostly that at the zoo that I went to growing up, for some reason, the porcupines and the meerkats shared an enclosure. And the meerkats were my favorite, so I always had to deal with the porcupines being there. They were much easier to find.
So, yeah. Well, it's like at the zoo here, don't the, like, meerkats or what, prairie dogs, whatever, share an enclosure with, like, a buffalo? Or am I making that up? Am I crazy?
I don't know if it's the buffalo, but I think you're correct that they share it with something.
Yeah, apparently no one wants to give meerkats their own space. I don't know if they, like, get into things if they're not being reined in by some other kind of animal. Or if it's just like, these are small and no one's going to notice they're here, so we'll just put them here. We have to have this one anyway.
They're just, yeah, they're under the ground the whole time, so it's like, what's even in here? I don't know.
We did get a new red panda, though.
We did.
It's like the male red panda we had formerly, and the female apparently did not. I don't know. They were just friends. So the male went somewhere else, and we got a new male red panda, and hopefully we'll get some red panda babies.
See, she's into it. Yeah, like, they don't have to be into each other just because they're the only two red pandas in the
No, but, like, when part of the goal is, like, you know, building up the population, I suppose, it's like, all right, well, this flopped.
Good for her,
Let's
though.
Let's shift some things around. Yeah. I think my her name's Betty, which is love.
Yeah, my preferences outweigh the need of my species to survive. I'm not just a factory for baby pandas.
Look, not even if we were the only two red pandas on the planet.
I like to think they were friends, but just, you know, platonic friends. Like,
yeah,
you're cool, and we get along, but I don't like you like that.
She's like, there's got to be some other dude around here somewhere. She's like, I've never seen another red panda in my life. There's got to be other ones.
there must be a better one. You can't be the best that it is out there. Yeah. Mm-mm. The first time I went to the Madison Zoo, it was in, 2013, 2014. And all of the, merch for the zoo and everything was still polar bear themed. And we, jokingly asked at the gift shop, where are the polar bears? Everything's polar bear themed. And she was like, the polar bear died. And we're like, oh, no.
They now have, two or three.
They have
polar bears again. But,
there was a time where they, the polar bear had been the big draw. And, they had really gone all in on the polar bear. And then the polar bear died.
The pressure of being the star couldn't take it.
And it was, it was a tough time for the zoo, from what I understand.
So sad.
Do we want to find more wine things to talk about? Yeah, we talked a little bit about church wine.
I like the church wine topic. I found an article about how, because you guys are aware, there's a lot of fires going on in Europe right now, especially in France. So I guess there's a lot of fires are ruining some of the wine regions right now. So I found this article, I'll talk about it, I'll send it to you guys too, from France24.com. It says, bad news for Bordeaux. France's celebrated wine industry faces wake-up call over wildfires. And I think the gist is just pretty much that, where it's oh no, the fires are really impacting the wine industry. Let's see, what did it say? Wildfires burning outside Bordeaux are underscoring the climate challenges facing France's largest wine region, where producers are grappling with severe drought, rising temperatures, and falling wine consumption. Oh, this also says that there's no immediate threat to Bordeaux's famed vineyards. Okay. But since nearly 2 months of drought and repeated heat waves have intensified stress on the vines and brought one of the earliest harvests on record.
I like the idea that the French people are just completely unconcerned with climate change until it, very much started threatening their wine, and now they're like, whoa, 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 whoa.
I mean, I think
Ignore the thousands of people who died from the heat wave this summer.
Right.
The wine, though.
I will say, I feel like climate change is one of those things, it is obviously, a very big issue, but yeah, a lot of people don't appreciate how big of a deal it is until it does impact them personally in some way. I mean, this is a way to, yeah.
And by then it feels like it's, it already feels like it's too late.
Right. Oh, it's bad. I also got, this is not directly related to this, but so I've been getting a Fruit of the Month Club this year. My father-in-law got it for me and Chris for Christmas last year. So I think this month was our last month of Fruit of the Month. But anyway, we got our fruit this month really early. And I was like, this is weird. We got some peaches, but there was a note in the peach box that was by the way, you're getting these peaches so early because our peach harvest, ripened really early because of, how hot it's been. And I was like, oh, cool. So it's just kind of wow, climate change is really happening. It's just we had to ship out the peaches early or else they would just be rotten by the time you're supposed to get them. How are you? Can you hear us?
Can you hear them? You can talk. You can talk into the microphone.
Can I have a virtual fist bump?
You having a good bedtime?
Yes.
What was the best thing you did this weekend?
I got a double treat. I got a donut and a cookie.
A double treat?
What kind of donut did you eat?
Was it a vanilla donut? Mom bought Greenbush donuts. Yeah. And a chocolate chip cookie.
Mm-hmm.
Is chocolate chip your favorite kind of cookie?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mine too. I bought some stuff so I could make chocolate chip cookies with Riley.
How do you feel about climate change?
How do you feel about climate change?
Are you worried about it?
Are you worried about the planet? Yeah. What do you think we should do to take care of the planet?
Look at it.
We should look at it.
We should look at it. We should think about it. Think long term.
What does Rocky say we should do? Don't lose it, reuse it.
Yeah.
Why trash it when we can stash it? Yeah.
Love to recycle. Oh, I just started composting. I don't know if this is related. If I had time for content, I was going to talk about my composting journey, but...
I was, what's the word? Shredding some carrots for dinner and was like, I should compost.
That's where I was at.
That's that thought went.
That's where I was at, Erica, because I kept, yeah, just, like, generating, like, potato peels and other, you know, vegetable scraps and, like, coffee grounds and all this stuff. And I was like, I should really be composting. This is getting a little ridiculous. I started going to the farmer's market on the west side of town, and they have a little booth there where you get a little bucket for free, and then you just take it and you fill it up with your compostables, and you bring it back and dump it out, and they compost it all for you. And it's, like, sponsored by the city, so it's, like, free.
Cool.
So I've had this little compost bucket in my freezer taking care of it.
I should try that. Peeling is the word I was looking for with carrot, and I could not think of it. Peeling carrots is what I was doing.
Yeah, well, because the big thing for me, I was like, I asked the people at the booth, I was like, how do I do this without generating a lot of bugs? Because, wow, I didn't want to have, like, a compost bin on my counter that just, like, made bugs.
Yeah.
Yuck, don't want that. And she was like, oh, you have space to keep it in your freezer or your fridge. That's really the best way, excuse me, to do it. So, and I have... A noted chest freezer enthusiast that I am. I have a lot of freezer space, so I keep it in the freezer.
That's smart.
Mm-hmm. I didn't learn that.
We have a compost bin on the side of our house that we should probably put our yard waste in. But, oh man, do I not want to deal with our yard waste. We got a new fence.
New fence?
They cut down a bunch of the weeds in our yard to install our new fence.
Ooh. Free lawn care.
I mean, it was quite expensive lawn care, technically, but we did get a fence out of it, so.
Yeah. I did learn, so I took my compost bucket to dump it out at the market the first time this past weekend, and I learned that you don't, I thought I would hand them a dirty bucket full of stuff, and they would give me another clean bucket. No, you dump out your bucket, and they give you, they hand you a rubber spatula, and they're like, scrape out anything you want to scrape out, and I was like, okay, so I scraped it out. And then I was like, do I get a fresh bucket? And they're like, no, you just get me a bucket. And I was like, okay. So then I had to, you know, it's not bad. Just rinse it out. It's fine. But I was like, at this point, it had become unfrozen and it was stinky. And I was like, I don't want to keep this bucket.
But I don't want to drive home with that bucket.
I know, but it's fine. I'm just going to try and make it work. So we're on round two. We'll see how long this lasts. I'm going to save the planet for you doing it one bucket of compost at a time.
Yeah. We do not compost. We're growing strawberries.
That's good.
Ooh.
What are the strawberries' names?
Herman.
We've named all of them Herman.
Yeah.
Nice.
We had a lima bee called Herman. It died, so we got new Hermans. We got four Hermans.
Very good. I'm really glad that you got new Hermans and after the first Herman died. They're saplings.
They're saplings.
Very
nice.
Good. How many plants do you have that are named Herman?
How many Hermans do we have?
Four.
Four?
They're all named Herman.
I love that.
Yeah.
I bet they feel really close as a family since they all have the same name.
We call them strawberries until my sister made up a name for them.
Yeah, we were going to name them. But then I just started referring to them as the Strawberry Hermans in the meantime, and it stuck. We still haven't come up with new names, but maybe someday.
But I thought a name that is so pretty.
What name is so pretty? Flower.
Flower. That is really nice. That's like Bambi when the skunk gets named Flower.
Oh, yeah.
It's so pretty, like a flower. Aww.
Riley named the tree in our front yard Rainbow. So we have a rainbow.
The tree in our backyard is named Ice Cream.
I need you guys to like bring your kids to my house so they can name my trees and my plants. Because I feel like I'm really missing
it. I'm sure they would be happy to.
Bigger and bigger.
Ice Cream is getting bigger and bigger.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Wow. That's what you want.
So are you.
More of it. I do
what
feel
do
like we're reaching the end of our hour, so should I, like, wrap it up?
Do you think we should end our podcast?
No.
No?
No?
Did you sneak past Dad to get down here?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you think he's going to come looking for you? What else should we talk about?
Do you have content? This is your pod now, girl.
Oh, I hear the door.
I know that, Dad.
My mini elephants are now out of the bath and are traipsing above me.
Uh-oh, I hear a boy.
No. But I wanted this to be my quiet time.
Yeah, but quiet time's over. Can you say goodbye?
Bye.
Bye.
Have a good night. I love you.
Best guest ever.
What's great is I usually drop off my kids after they've been dropped off. And not every day, but often, will just give me a fist bump. And it's just a wonderful way to start the day. It's a little fist bump.
A little child.
She's very good. She's a delightful little cinnamon roll of a child. We probably should wrap this up.
We should wrap the rank our drinkies and wrap it up. Erica, do you want to rank your wine out of 10? There's no real factors. Just how do you feel about it?
The format is you rate it on a scale of 1 to 10, and then you recommend it to someone. It doesn't have to be a specific person. It can be like anyone who likes white wine and getting wasty.
Yeah, I usually skip the recommendation part because that's kind of where I get. It's like someone who would like this, and it's very creative. But
yeah, that's probably my. I mean, I'd maybe do an 8. It's a nice sweet wine. So if you like sweet wines or if you want something to have with your dessert, I think River Gold from Wollersheim is a good choice, personally.
Very good. I guess I'll do mine next. So reminder, I had From House Wine, their Rainbow Rosé Bubbles wine. I'm also going to give this an 8 just because I feel like it's like, if you went to a party and you saw this really cute rainbow can in a cooler, you'd be like, oh, hell yeah, so fun. And I like that. And also, like, who doesn't like a bubbly rosé? I feel like if you don't like a bubbly rosé, you're not very fun. Or maybe you're just not drinking alcohol, and that's okay. If that's your problem, that's okay. But, yeah. So I recommend it if you're at a fun party and you want to have a fun wine instead of a beer. But also, reminder. One can is 2.5 glasses of wine. So be careful while you're drinking this.
Mary, I genuinely might try this now, honestly. Like,
it is fun. So they have a couple different kinds. I was at Metcalf's, but I think they're like around. So do you recommend?
I did also see it at Hy-Vee. And okay, I almost bought it. And then I was like, I will have nothing interesting to say about this. Which is not to say that I will have anything interesting to say about Wild State Cider's Hazy Pink Pineapple Cider. I like the can. It is pink. It's got like a cute little raccoon and a pineapple. It's got this nice little sweetness meter on it that tells you how dry or sweet it is. I think probably it's just been too long since I had a cider, and I don't remember what a normal cider tastes like. Because this one does have some nice tropical vibes. That is probably what pineapple tastes like. I enjoyed drinking it, but it's kind of just a forgettable, like, there's nothing that really stands out about it. It's very crisp and refreshing. I am going to give this a 6.9. Nice.
Ooh, so specific.
And also I will nice. Recommend it to any of my millennial ladies who want to throw it back to 2014 and not drink a White Claw or a High Noon for once.
Girl, I want to do that so bad. I'm in.
I gotta say, I like my White Claws and my High Noons, so. Though.
I did almost get a
maybe I'm basic.
Like it's fine. I don't know. It's all good.
If you are in your early to mid 30s and you used to drink a lot of Angry Orchard, maybe give this a try.
Or if you're in your late 30s, that's not the thing anybody's in.
I'm mid for 2 more months. Keep me at my mid.
I'm deep in the late, so, you know.
Late doesn't start until 37.
Good.
I know Erica's got some time.
That means
that's true. Very fine. I have a couple more years, but still.
I feel like I need to do an outro. Okay, hi, everybody. I mean, goodbye, everybody. This is the end of Wine Tasting Wednesday, episode 4. Big time fun with the ladies. I guess I do the normal stuff. So we have We don't mess up our website. Sorry. So it's the same, brewstoos.com. You can find us at, I think, on Blue Sky. And it's like, I don't know what it is. Brewsy Tuesday or Brewsy Tuesday podcast. You'll find us. You can email us at whatever email Tyler says at the end of the episodes. I'm not going to try to guess what it is.
Brewsday Tuesday podcast at gmail.com.
There it is.
I think Blue Sky is Brewsday Tuesday.
You know,
the website is Brewstoos. If you found this podcast, you already know where to find us.
Yeah, because, like, how did you even find this? Oh, my God. But, yeah, don't
You didn't Google this.
Yeah, don't let those bastards keep you down, though, including Google. Okay, bye.
Bye. Erica, you have to say bye.
Oh, sorry. Bye.
They can't see you wave.
I've already left. I'm gone. Here comes a beer. Catch all your tears. Drink the remedy. Forget about your problems. Here comes a shot. Lose all your thoughts. Drink the remedy, forget about your problem. This one's on me, fix you for free. Drink the remedy, forget about everything. This one's on me, got what you need. And take your medicine, you feel better, friend. She's never coming back. Thank you for hosting.
Yeah, sorry, I thought of it earlier today. I was like, I should try to find some articles for this. And well, I should have, but I didn't.
I mean, I think Sam, tried to find articles, but also got distracted by Ocarina of Time.
You know, that's valid.
That's a good reason.
So and, like, valid. Parenting, I guess he probably came back upstairs to help me with the children, but, yeah.
Yeah. That's okay.
There really isn't good wine news, it turns out. All the wine news is just, like, Food and Wine magazine, what olive oil Martha Stewart likes.
I feel like a lot of alcohol news, maybe it's also wine, is just, like, people aren't drinking as much wine as they used to. Oh, no. And it's kind of like, that doesn't feel like necessarily a bad thing to me, really.
Gen Z's not drinking. We had an article recently that Gen Z is drinking now, so.
They are.
We got them.
We got them, everybody.